Amen. Well, Father, we just praise you. We glorify you, Lord, for bringing us all together again in fellowship and one accord. And I praise you for this night, Lord, and I ask that your Holy Spirit be leading us and guiding us and helping us to bring about the things that we're going to talk about tonight. And, Lord, I thank you for that. But, Lord, most of all, I thank you for this wonderful time we're coming into. Father God, let it be a singleness of our heart to run after you with all that we have, everything that we have, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in us to seek you with all our heart, surrender ourselves to you, Father God, our heart, everything, our minds, our imaginations, everything, Father. And I praise you, Father, that we are running after you with everything that we've got. And when we do that, I know, Father God, that there are miracles that happen when we do it. And Lord, I thank you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. I praise you for an open heaven, right straight to the throne, that when we pray, we know our prayers are answered. And we praise you and we thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down our enemies. I ask, Father God, if there's any of your elect in those enemies, that you bring them forward, Lord. And I praise you for doing that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters here. And I ask that you bless them, Lord, in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen. Has anybody got a prayer request? Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, everybody. I just want to ask for prayer. Tomorrow is my first appointment with the midwife and just all of that. So I think I'm not sure really, you know, what they'll do this first appointment. But anyways, I just, you know, want prayer that it goes good and that just I cast down any fear in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Lord, that I'm healthy and this baby is healthy and we're blessed by you. And it's going to be a good appointment tomorrow, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for, Lord, forgive me for distractions. And Father, I just ask God that, you put it in my heart to want to spend more time in your word and Lord, just to have boldness to come before you, Lord, and to, you know, perfect love cast out all fear. And Lord, I just pray, Father, you forgive me for, if I've not loved the way that you should love, Lord, then I just pray, God, that you put that in me, Father, to love just like you and to love all my brethren just like you, Lord. And Father, I know through that, God, I won't fear. And I just thank you, Father, that this is going to be a good appointment and this baby's healthy and I'm healthy. And I just cast down nausea right now in the name of Jesus. You know, cast down feeling tired and just all of these things. Lord, you've already healed me from all of this. God, you healed me at the cross. And Lord, I'm not bound by the curse, Father. You've lifted that off of me when you went to the cross. And I thank you, Jesus. And I just love you, Father. And I thank you for a good day tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, this ain't your first rodeo, is it, Geneva? You got another there.
Yeah. It's just my second.
All right. Praise God. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be just lovely. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you that through this whole pregnancy, that she and that baby are just going to breeze right through it without any problems. What's no sickness, no nothing. No nothing but just that baby growing and mama being satisfied in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. It's going to be an easy transition for mama and baby.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I receive that. Thank you,
Amen.
Father.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Glory be to God. Hey, Tim and Katie. Glory to God. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request? There's
I
Patrick.
have a prayer.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
I have a prayer request. Well, I just want you all to agree with me. My neighbor down the street that I walk with in the mornings, her name is Joy, and she's about 83. And she texted me this afternoon and said that they were admitting her because she has a bowel obstruction, and she asked me to pray. So I thought I would ask everyone to just agree with me that Joy is healed and there is no more obstruction and that she can come home. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We put our faith together with Terry. Did you say her name was Laurie?
No, her name is Joy.
Joy. Joy. Okay. Joy. Lord, we thank that Joy is healed. We command that spirit of infirmity off of her. You're not allowed in that temple of God right there. In the name of Jesus, you go from her. And we praise you, Father, that Joy is going to give all the glory to you because we know she's healed in Jesus' name. Because we spoke the word, we all agree, and it's done in Jesus' name. Joy, you be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to
Amen.
God. It's done.
Amen.
All right. Is anyone else got a prayer request? Timothy, go right ahead, brother.
So my aunt has, it's a certain virus, and her young baby son has it too. I don't know the exact name of it, but she's just afflicted right now, and she lifted her up in prayer for that virus just to go in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit burn it right out of her.
Amen. Thank you, Father, that that baby and mama's healed in Jesus' name, because we all have faith to believe and we know it's done. Tim prayed the prayer. We believe it. We know it's already done. Thank you, Father, that they are healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Man, it's good to have a full house tonight. Go ahead, Geneva.
I haven't praised because it's about my father-in-law actually, which I thought was pretty awesome what he told us. This was last Sunday. We were over their house and he puts in windows and he's been doing that for about 25 years now. And anyways, he just recently started going to church with his other son and starting to talk about the Lord and, just, I guess trying, I'm believing, the Lord's still going to show him more things and bring him in further. But, I guess right now just baby steps. And I'm thankful that he's even, going, just, accepting it, I guess. And he's thinking about getting baptized and anyways, and this is a man who had a very cold for a long time, and the Lord is really starting to do a work in him. And anyways, he said, so the testimony is so his job, he has to climb up ladders and stuff to put windows in, and my father-in-law, he's a pretty strong guy. Like, he goes to the gym every day, he's real big about his health and stuff. And anyways, he was on a 16 foot ladder and fell off of it and landed on a whole thing of like a bunch of metal, like the metal that you like put into the windows and stuff. And he said he just laid there and thought like, this is it. And he said that he just he said all of a sudden he started to feel movement in his body, and he said the next thing he knows, like, he lifted his arms and he got up off the ground and he just stood there and was stunned. And he said that he knew, like, he was like, that was God. He's like, I can't believe that. He's like, people get seriously injured from just like 6 foot ladders. This was 16 feet. And when he told me that, I was just like, there ain't no doubt in my mind that was the Lord. Of course that was the Lord. He had his angels around you. And, me and Morgan were just stunned. And I was like, wow, that's a testimony. So anyways, I just wanted to share that with you all, praise God that the Lord is with him and had his hand over him. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Thank you, Lord, for getting his attention. We praise you, Father, that not only is he coming into the kingdom, he's coming into the kingdom in a mighty way. He's giving it all to you, Father God. We ask and we pray, Father, that you place it in his heart to give it all. And I thank you for it, Father. How old is he, Geneva?
I think he's only like, Morgan's got really young parents. I think he's only like 47 or 46, something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a young whippersnapper.
He is.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, for doing that for him, bringing him into the kingdom. Lord, I ask that you make a mighty man of God out of him, a preacher man out of him. He gets up on the ladder and he won't be putting windows in. He'll be screaming out the gospel in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, that's something we can look forward to. He'll be joining us. Go ahead, Missy.
I got a praise report. You know, I asked y'all to agree with me that when I took my vehicle in, that it wasn't going to cost me anything. I found out today that she told me, she says, good. She says, what did she say? Good news. I said, yay, I knew it. Don't have to pay anything. And she said, it's not very often when they have that kind of situation that that it wasn't critters in there chewing on the wires. It was like the, I don't know, some kind of wiring harness or whatever back around the gas tank or whatever. I think it's something to do with the fuel pump and other stuff or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, they said there was just a short in the wire. And, you know, and I got to thinking about that, you know, later, and I'm like, you know what? It could have been critters, but the Lord could have gone in there, you know, angels gone in there and made it that it wasn't, you know, no critter chewing, you know. They could have fixed it to the point where, you know, all that showed up was a short in the wires or whatever, you know. I mean, so, and I told my son, Kirk, because he used to do auto tech work. He's an auto tech. He said, well, if you, I told him it would have cost us $1,200, you know, because they had to drop the fuel tank out and whatever else it is they had to do. And he said, well, if it would have been critters chewing, the insurance would have covered it. I said, yeah, but I would have had a deductible. He goes, yeah. So this way, I mean, it didn't cost us nothing. Praise you, Jesus. So anyway.
Well, if critters is eating on their wires, they need to quit putting food on them. You know what I'm saying?
Funny, haha. But anyway, yeah, rodents will chew on anything. It's crazy.
Well, I remember a couple here that they had that happen to them a number of times. They kept eating up their wiring harness. That was Charlie and Linda.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that happened to them. Gosh, more than once.
I know pet rabbits are horrible for that.
This is not rabbits. This was rats, mice.
I know.
Mice getting up in there.
When Alex had his rabbit.
Yeah.
When Alex had his rabbit, and even Kurt Brook had a rabbit, they just, you know, you're not watching them, and they get behind something, and they start chewing on your wires of whatever, you know. Could have fried rabbit, but anyway.
Yeah.
That never happened, but
fried rabbit's good. I told you about the time my friend brought the rabbit up to me to want to know if I want to take care of him. I said, yeah, I'll take care of him. And she come up about 2 weeks later and wanted to take one of them and give it to Katie, her little girl, so she could take it to show and tell. I said, sure, just go out there in the freezer and get you one of them. Take it with you. That'd be fine. She said, Michael Hare, I ought to just snatch you up and smack you, boy. I said, well, Katie, you give it to me. I'm going to eat them rabbits. They were big, fine rabbits, too, though. But anyway, I got a big kick out of it. She did, too, afterwards. All right, who's next? Yeah, Katie.
The last few nights I've been having trouble sleeping, so if you guys can just pray against that and pray that I sleep good from here on out.
Okay. All right. You ready to sleep tonight?
Yes.
All right. You may fall asleep while things are going on, but we're going to pray against that too. Lord, we just thank you that after the meeting, when her head hits the pillow, that she's going to be out and she's going to have, when she wakes up in the morning, she's going to have supernatural energy. She's going to be full of you. And we praise you, Father, that she's not going to have any problems with sleep. What do you call that? Insomnia. No more insomnia in Jesus' name. It's got to go in the name of Jesus. And I command it to go. You're not allowed in that temple. So I thank you, Father, that baby's going to sleep good. In Jesus' name. Thank you,
Amen.
Father. That's done.
Amen.
Get ready
Amen.
for a testimony because God's going to get the glory. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Hello, I did text her now. She said you got it is quite not thinking straight, and she had lots of memory loss, and she's walking with a, what do you call it, chair or frame. You had some prayer for her, if you don't mind.
Help me out, dude. I understood every word of it, but you need to help me out here.
Yeah, so you heard from Ronell,
Oh.
and she's doing okay, but well, she's got suffering some memory loss, and she's walking with like a cane or a walker.
Right, well, with the frame, I'm not sure what you call it.
Cane
Walking.
or a walker or something. So for
Yeah.
now, she had that she was hospitalized, you told us,
Let us try
for
another stroke.
a
Yeah.
stroke. So just memory loss and some paralysis, or to strengthen her body is what we need to pray then, right? Memory loss
Yeah.
and okay.
Right. But in the name of Jesus right now, I command everything that has attacked her body be gone in the name of Jesus. I command a memory loss to be gone. I command complete restoration of her faculties and her body in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that she next time that Joe sees her, she's going to be walking and talking and know exactly what's going on. And I praise you for doing that for this lady. What's her name?
No.
Ronell. And I thank you, Lord, that Ronell is healed, delivered, and she is set free once again. And I thank you, Father, when Joe talks to her, she's going to remember everything. And I praise you, Father, that it's going to be to your glory again for this lady. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for Ronell. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Lord, for healing Ronell. She's healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise you,
Thank
Lord.
you. Thank you,
Amen.
Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. All right, Julie, go ahead.
About Chica. Joe, is she at home or is she still in the hospital?
He's still a doctor. I asked her when she's coming out. She says, no, I haven't got a clue. She still learned to walk and things, so
Okay.
it'll be quite a while then.
Okay. I would like to pray a little bit then too. Father, I
All
just
right.
thank you, Lord, for Renelle. I thank you, Lord, for putting bold faith in her. I ask God that you would give her just a determination to get out of there. And you're by your grace and your strength, she is going to walk without a walker or a cane or any other assistance, that she is all her memory is returned to her and restored like Michael prayed. And there is no trace of any of those any of the infirmity and any of the trace remembrance of any of those things in her body whatsoever. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for her. And you give her faith, Lord. You give her faith and give her peace and give her rest, and that you keep her in communication with you by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for getting her discharged from the hospital and back home. We're going to hear that report very soon. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We believe it. Everybody believe it, don't you? Renelle, you go on home, girl, because you're healed. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Who's next? But it prayed up, I guess. Praise God. We say, Matt and Anna. What's up, y'all?
What's up?
Oh, Jesus. Jesus is up. All right. Y'all ready for a good praise song? Huh? Okay, let me find one here. I about got it.
Hey, Michael, Pat has
Hey.
his hand up. He put it up just as you were saying something about a song.
Who Pat does? Go ahead, Pat.
I could probably use a praise song before I say anything, but maybe I'll say it first. I have kind of a confession to make, and Tuesday, I wanted to kind of tell a little bit of a story. Tuesday, we had a power outage here in our town, the whole area here, Chester County. And, by the way, Michael, did you get my text?
I did, and I thought I responded to you, didn't I?
Okay. All right. No, I didn't see it. So I just wanted to make sure communications were happening. Were. But
and by the way, we prayed in the fellowship also.
And so what happened? I know I've been tracking with the messages here the last. Well, every Sunday and Wednesday night. And of course, the one of the messages here is check yourself. And so a little story that happened. Of course, the power went off. We had a massive rainstorm and flooding, and winds were blowing. They weren't hurricane type winds, but they were pretty, pretty gusty, kind of shaking the house type of thing, you know. So they were supposed to 50 and 60 mile an hour gusts. So we had a lot of trees down and power outage. And anyway, it went down. So, I went out to, and at the time that happened, I really rattled, you know, it was like, confused, just, not knowing what to do and where to do. And I've got all kinds of like emergency, you know, things set up for specifically that. Well, anyway, so I went out, pulled out my generator. It's going to hook that up. And I couldn't get it started. And so I cranked on that thing for a little while. And finally, and of course, we're in the midst of, you know, a downpour rain type of thing. And everything is, you know, flooding out around me. And I have a little river running down the back of my yard, you know, that type of thing, down the driveway. And I had my neighbor. I was talking with him because he had his generator's going and a couple, you know, two or three sump pumps on the back of his house there to keep the water from flowing in the back of his house. And so he offered to come over and take a look at my generator and see why it wouldn't start. And so I said, okay, that's fine. And if you could do that, I'd appreciate it. He came over and we tried starting it 2 or 3 times, and then he asked me a question. He said, by the way, did you, and I have to say that last year we had a similar incident. No, it wasn't a similar incident. I had some electrical work done in my house, and I had to, I knew I was going to have to switch it over and run off of a generator for a day. And so I couldn't get it to start. And he told me at that time, and he actually took my carburetor off and took it to his shop. He's a mechanic, and he rebuilt it for me, and basically said, "Well, it's the gas that we use nowadays. That if you once you quit using something like a lawnmower or whatever, you have to drain the carburetor, and basically just do that by shutting the gas off to the carburetor and then letting it run until it runs out of gas." So I didn't do that. And over the process of probably the last 6 months, I kept thinking, I need to get out there and pull that generator out and do what he said, turn that gas off and run it out of gas so it'll dry out that carburetor. And I didn't do it. Procrastination, just put it off. Every time the thought came into my mind, I would, it'll start. I won't have to worry about it. Well, so yesterday, what day is this? This Wednesday, this Thursday. This happened on Tuesday night, Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, I took off work. Yesterday, I took off work and, tried to get this generator going, etc. Well, Tuesday night, as I was in the midst of this thing, he came over and looked at it. And he tried to crank it up. He said, by the way, did you drain that carburetor, like I said? And I was so embarrassed. And I knew that question was going to come. And I was so embarrassed when he said it. And I said, no, I kind of ashamed to say, but I did not do that. He said, well, it's probably what the problem is, et cetera. And so I said, I thanked him. And as he was trying to crank it over, and this is the thing that got me, as he, we tried it 2 or 3 more times, and I wanted to lay hands on this thing and pray and command that to start in Jesus' name. But I could not. The only thing that I could do is whimper out a little mealy mouth type of prayer, help me Jesus type of thing, which even at the time I did it, I knew, it was a useless attempt at, whatever. So this morning I woke up and I realized, it was like zero boldness, zero faith, zero everything, right down in the bottom of the dumps. So this morning when I woke up, I got to think, it was the first thing on my mind, because obviously after that happens, the next thing that happens is blaming, condemnation, failure. You're a loser. You'll never be any good, and all that sort of thing coming through. And, so this morning I got up and I realized, the message is that David is talking about, and even I think the message that you had on prayer, Michael, and getting along with God, and I think that letter, that email you sent out. But I realized I couldn't stand in boldness on that because I was guilty. There was a guilt. There was, you know, I sat there, stood there knowing that I brought this on myself, and I could know, you know, it was inside of me. I didn't have any boldness. I didn't have any confidence. I didn't have nothing. I was worthless. And I got to thinking about that, is that it's the battle of, I thought of that scripture, it was in Proverbs, I wish I could remember what it is, but it's the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. And, you know, I know the first time that I read that and the Lord kind of showed me what that was, that the angel of the Lord guards, sets up a guard around us that fear him, that fear the Lord. And the picture I got at the time was the sense of I've never been in the service, you know, the army or anything like that, but I know they pull guard duty and they, you know, there's a situation where they'll guard the encampment. And if anybody comes up, you know, it's a halt, who goes there, you know, that type of thing. And those angels guard that barrier around us. And the thought that, I had at the time when I was, considering that scripture is that, and this is, and it was, the angel saying, halt, who goes there? And the demon came up and said, I'm the demon of lust or whatever, or anger or what you pick your sin, you know. And the angel of the Lord said, you cannot come through here. You cannot penetrate the barrier. And then the demon raised his wicked finger and pointed over at my whatever, I can't even think, but magazine or a television show I was watching says, and that demon said, yes, but he has allowed it. And therefore, the angel of the Lord had to let him in. And the Lord was showing me at that time of that he, that God created this kingdom to function according to law and jurisdiction and with the authority of mankind or men in mind for everything that he's doing on this planet and in this place. And so I'm getting long-winded about this, but anyway, so the Lord took me back and showed me again the necessity of clearing my conscience, because because that guilt that I had in my background or in my thinking or in my mind caused by me, but it was due to an inaction of mine that really was the cause of the situation that I was in. And my conscience was condemning me in that thing and eliminating my ability to have any kind of boldness or trust God for what I needed in that time. So, I've gone back and of course, I think clearing our conscience, identifying the areas of guilt or sin or failure or whatever it is, identifying those areas. But most specifically, I think, trying to identify areas where we have offended others or others have been offended at us, and trying to resolve those, or at least go back and confess my sin, confess my failures, confess my insensitivity, go to my adversary, shall we say, if you would say somebody who is offended at me, or vice, say somebody who's offended me is, it could have an adversarial type of attitude toward me or whatever, to go back and to confess anything that the Lord would show me that is wrong, or something that I have done wrong, or whatever, and to clear that conscience, clear my own conscience in that. So, I guess in the long way that I usually do, I guess the short of it is, if there was a cause for the lack of faith or boldness or confidence or whatever that I had to, that I needed at the time, but did not have it. And that cause was due to a conscience that had been defiled, or however you want to say it. So anyway, I'm confessing it tonight because I'm taking it to heart, the words of, you know, when David said to search yourself, to seek God's face. And I go back to, you know, that that scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so my prayer request is for myself in this confession is that I am asking God to lead me through the path of clearing my conscience completely to the place of restoring boldness in following you, Lord, in walking in your truth, in encouraging others to walk in your truth, in your word, to restore the fullness of the Holy Spirit within me, and grant me your grace to humble myself and to walk in everything that you show me. And Lord, I know that way back in the 80s when you first showed me that, that I literally had to sit down and write out a list of these things and start hitting the list and knocking them off one at a time. And every time I went to somebody or I addressed a specific thing that you showed me. And even at that time, it was people that I had offended and that I knew I had offended. Every time I contacted those people, you restored a communication back with them, between me and them, and you also did something within me to bring forth a richer, closer sense of your presence in my life. And Father, I desire that again. I desire to enter into the fullness of your presence. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for the cause and effect relationships that you've shown me in your word. I thank you that that your kingdom functions according to your law. And even the devil has to function off of that same law. And so, Lord, just give us wisdom, give me wisdom to function in that way, to take advantage of the peace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the truth, the richness of your word, and grant me grace to walk in the strength of faith and the fullness of your Holy Spirit, and do so with each and every one of my brothers and sisters. And each of us, Lord, that if we haven't pursued that freedom of a clear conscience, that we would take advantage of that opportunity that you're providing us now, because Lord, we certainly need every bit of your faith, every bit of your truth, every bit of you going into the time that we're going into very soon. So I praise you, Lord. I praise you for the things that you're showing me and that you're showing us. You give us grace to continue on and to reach out and touch you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe that that is happening even as we speak. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Well, all right. Tonight, we have a special guest with us tonight. She's one of our locals, or one of our fellowship people here. And she's premiering her new hit single, Jesus in Me. It's a great song. I've already listened to it. It's an awesome song. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you Terry McGinley. Go, Terry.
Okay. Here goes. As he reigns, I have the power to overcome sin. All the power he gave his son is living within. Every giant will tremble and take to flight, cause they're like grasshoppers in my Savior's sight. Indescribable joy, unbelievable peace, what I have in Jesus is living in me. Living for myself, sorry, till I saw his face, nothing is of worth unless it comes from above. Signs and wonders follow me because of who within. People see miracles and give glory to him. Jesus is the light in me for all the world to see. Lives and moves and does good for sin and for me. Indescribable joy, unbelievable peace is what I have in Jesus. This is living in me. Living for myself till I saw his face. Oh, heaven is a blessing when they come from above. How I love you, how I love you. Jesus, you are worthy of all praise. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah to the ancient of days. Indescribable joy, unbelievable peace. What I have in Jesus is living in me. I was living for myself till I saw Jesus. Oh, sorry, till I saw his face. Nothing is a worse than nothing comes from above. Indescribable joy, unbelievable peace. What I have in Jesus is living in me.
Yay! That's it. Glory to God. That's a good one. I love it.
Would you like me to read the words, because I know it's hard to hear.
Yes, yes, please.
Okay, it's because he reigns, I have the power to overcome sin. All the power he gave his son is living within. Every giant will tremble and take to flight because they're like grasshoppers in my Savior's sight.
Woohoo!
Indescribable joy, unbelievable peace is what I have in Jesus since he's living in me. I was living for myself until I saw his great love. Now nothing is of worth unless it comes from above. Signs and wonders follow me because of who's within. People see miracles and give glory to him. Jesus is the light in me for all the world to see. He lives and moves and does good works in and through me. And then the bridge is, how I love you, how I love you, Jesus. You are worthy of all praise. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah to the Ancient of Days. Indescribable joy, unbelievable peace is what I have in Jesus since he's living in me.
Woohoo! I like that song. I like the words, too. That's got some good lyrics to it. Praise God. And some music to it. Glory to God. I like it. Mm. Anybody else like it? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, yeah. I told
Is Deb, there any kind of a story Deborah, behind it?
Well, it was 2 days ago, and I was just washing the dishes, and I said, Lord, would you give me a song? And then immediately it came to my head, and I had to hurry and write it down. So it wrote itself. God wrote it in 3 minutes. And so I sent it to Deborah Finske. Is that her last name?
Yeah.
Finske. Finske. Okay. And she, I gave her the chords, and I told her, you know, she can give it to your worship leader if he wants to do it. So.
Okay. I'll see that Chuck gets it.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah, that'll be good. Are you going to come do a solo?
Well, I really do want to come and visit again. And if I'm there, great. I'll sing it with you.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. I enjoyed that. Yeah. Okay, Joe, did you have a song that you wanted to sing? I saw you raise your hand.
Well, that was just to comment on Terry's singing. It wasn't for me to sing, but that's pastor. But just for interest, like just before on my worship, just before the fellowship now, the last song I heard was on I used to listen to UBN broadcast, and Chuck had been playing. The last song was Terry singing with Sue and Debbie. It was in the midst of me. Just interesting, because the last song I heard was from her. So she's talking here. So it's very interesting. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I like that song that they did too, that threesome. God in the midst of you. Is that the name of it, Terry? God in the midst of you. Our God is mighty.
Yeah, I'm not really, I don't remember the title of it for some reason, but I think that's it.
It was October last year, yeah.
Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, Katie or Terry, Tim?
Yeah, I just find it beautiful that you were doing the dishes and he spoke to you. A lot of the Lord is waiting on him, but acknowledging him in everything we do, doing the dishes when we're, you know, going through our walk, then he speaks, and when he speaks, you know, he speaks. And acting on that, it just shows the power of him. You know, it's waiting on him and what we're doing. And the Amplified speaks on that. It's not the ability to wait. It's what we're doing while we're waiting. Are we seeking him? Are we listening? You know, and that's beautiful. And the whole song in 3 minutes. That was awesome. Awesome. Amen.
Good lyrics. Best lyrics.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Washing dishes. That's one job I don't care much about. I don't care about mopping. I don't care about doing my clothes. I don't care about none of that stuff. But God. But God. All right. Who's next? All right, the question, I had to go and find out what the question was, how do we see and hear in the Spirit? How do we see and hear in the Spirit? First, before we get started, did everybody get the email about getting alone with the Lord? Okay, good. If you didn't, let me know and I'll make sure you get it. Okay, and who wants to be first? How do we get to the end of that personal relationship to where we can hear the Lord and see the Lord and see the things in the spiritual realm? I see everybody really got into this week. Praise God. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
So it's more or less acknowledging him and everything we do, like I was saying. But the proverb that came to mind, what's his name right there? When Pat spoke, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance belongs to the Lord. And making sure every loose end is tied up, and I'm acknowledging in everything he does, you know, preparing that horse for when it comes and then giving it to the Lord. And the alone time today, I actually took a walk out to the woods, sat in a wet tree stand, but I had certain things like what to do. I had questions on finances, finding certain things like jobs coming up, and I just gave it to him and I found a secret place. You know, Psalms 91, you know, you let everything in that dwell in his secret place and everything become his secret place and no evil shall befall you. But I went up in that tree stand and I just waited. I waited to hear and let the Holy Spirit find out what I'm going to do and navigate, you know, and he lined everything up. And then finding him, finding that peace, and then taking it back and staying filled fills everything else up. And we were talking previously on minding our tongue, everything we say, like no idle words, you know, in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, you know. So she was in Proverbs. It was about 2 hours after I got back. You know, we were worshiping. You know, Eden's eating. It's, you know, and she has Proverbs open. I just hear 10:19. I didn't remember that it was, you know, in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And we just, you know, we laughed at each other because it's been a common theme is minding what we're saying and healing, touching and agreeing with it. You know, not complaining. Oh, I'm in pain. Just saying I'm suffering for the Lord's glory, if anything, if you're going to stay in pain, you know, it's just minding everything we speak and finding that secret place and making time for him allows me to see spiritually and hear him. And that's when I walked up behind her and he gave me that word. You know, it's a beautiful thing being in tune with him, but it comes, like you're saying, with that alone time, you know, and finding it and seeking it and preparing the horse for battle. So when it's time for him to deliver us, he can. You know, the horse is there. So, amen.
Amen. True words never spoken. Thank you, Tim.
I'll be the glory.
No. You unmuted. Yeah. I can hear every word you say. Okay. All right. Yes, go ahead, Patrick.
So I see Tim here, and maybe I miss a major development from the storm last week. So would you mind updating me? I think I missed something.
So probably Katie filled you in. She prayed a dangerous prayer to see the Lord's hand in healing. And I was in that program, and I was dead set. And it's a 9-month program. I was dead set in finishing it. And you know, she was afflicted with terrible stomach pain. You know, she went. We think it's ulcer. You know, I'm not going to touch any of this. She was afflicted. And so Christmas, she came and visited, and she could barely eat. She was wincing in pain, and she asked me to come home. And immediately, I thought it was the enemy. It was the enemy trying to take me out of position, trying to use an emotional attachment. And I comforted her, we prayed, we went into warfare up in the sanctuary they have, and it didn't break, you know. And I remained steadfast, you know, and I was dead set in my mind that it was the enemy. So fast forward another week, and it happens again. I brought it up to council. Tuesday nights we have men's Bible study, and they said, you know, not to leave, it's the enemy, and I agree with them. And the next day they offered for Katie to come stay there. And I was like, oh, this is a blessing. This is perfect, you know. Let me pray on it. But I ran it by Katie. And there's a few things they do there that I don't necessarily agree with, and Katie too. But I viewed it as just submit to what the Lord brought me there. There's no doubting that, you know. So I figured, you know, submit, learn, and then if anything, be the change. And that's what I was trying to portray it to my wife here, but
I had no peace about it after I prayed.
Amen. And that was the Holy Spirit too, but I wasn't seeing that. And I had a little bit of a spirit of anger that coincided, I guess, Mike prayed for. Yeah. I had a brother there that we're praying in the barn that he put his hand on me and he casted it out, but it just coincided. That's a tangent, but, she had no peace. We met with them. And the pastor there, Miss Victoria, and they pretty much said we can come there, they'll get her on food stamps and the, you know, check her out medically, and that they want us to be involved in the ministry. And I was like, yeah, see, we can. And I was kind of uncomfortable with it, but again, I thought it was the Lord. So after we met, we sat down, me and her, and I was like, this would be so good for you just to come here. Well, you know, I know you'll be healed. We don't have to worry about that. They're just saying that.
You get off of their communications in the name of Jesus. Come on.
My in-law's house. You learn how to do certain things. Right now. And I just took a step back and I'm like, okay.
Did you freeze?
No.
So I'm frozen. Yeah, we had a hiccup there.
Yes.
Where was I at?
You were telling the good part.
Yes. So we met with them, and after we met, I was saying, you know, this is really good for us. You know, this is a good blessing and opportunity. I really believe it's led from the Lord. And I was like, you can come here with the baby and learn many things, you know, get deliverance if needed, and start doing things on your own until we're reunited again. And the Holy Spirit just smacked me and said, you know, you're supposed to be doing this now together. You know, you're cleaved. You know, you're supposed to be together healing, not separate. Because she would be on the woman's side and I would be on the men's until I was delivered and done with the process. So that made me go to prayer and go to fasting and really reconsider, you know, what the Lord's will was. And early in the morning, I heard to fast, and then I got my answer that I was to leave. And
on Wednesday.
Yeah, on 2 weeks, I had a Bible study. So I got counsel for some brothers. It was a little, you know, it was mixed reviews, and gave me a very specific instructions to leave, was to finish my Bible study, fast again before the Bible study, and just write it out and lead in a divine order. And I did so, and the Bible study, I said I wanted to leave tomorrow, and they didn't take it well, and they told me, it kind of went around the table like, we believe that your wife is too religious with the head coverings, with healing and certain things. And, you know, I really wanted to not combat, but say some things, but I held my peace. And, during it all, as they went around the table, they said, we see demonic stuff in you. We see darkness on you. And then, I was kind of uncomforted, you know, but the whole, thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I heard they called me Beelzebub when they were accusing me. And then I heard, just hold your peace as I did when Pilate was accusing me. And it just gave me so much peace about it that, you know, the biggest thing about this whole thing is I was terrified that it wasn't his will. And it took me 21 days to really fast, to really wait. I didn't act hasty on this, you know, and, I just knew, you know, that 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 you know.
Praise God. Come back to him.
Get choked up about it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was unexpected for me too, because he was dead set on me coming there, and I had no. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever, you know, he tells me to do, because I have to and I trust you with it. And. But I was just praying. I'm like, Lord, please, please do something, because there's just no peace. And I really feel like we shouldn't be here. I feel like he shouldn't even be there. And then that night, like 2 hours after I said that prayer, is when everything happened. And that was a complete 180, because, I mean, he was dead set. He was ready to like separate for, for 5 months
until I was
done. Yeah. So, but God completely changed that instantly. So praise God for that. And now he's home, which is, a giant praise, because Michael would pray that several times that he would get out of there early. And every time Michael prayed that, I'm like, that would be awesome. But I can't see that happening, because, you know, you loved it there. And I was like, there's no way he's going to leave early. Like, I just can't see that happening. But God is faithful to our prayers, because here he is.
Yeah, I had some brothers there that I love, and I think God made connections now that will line up later, because, and that was one of the things, I'm like, I know the Lord's moving in this place, and I was so dead set that it was the enemy trying to take me out, you know, but like I said, you know that you know that you know, and thank God for prayer, fasting, following his word, and the Holy Spirit to guide me through it. And you know, I had little confirmations too, like my roommate woke up, he was like all scratching his head, he's like, I don't know what this meant, but the pastor just told me to leave, and he told me to leave in peace. And I'm like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, that wasn't for you. That was for me. You know, he didn't even remember the dream. Just said that, and then kind of went back to sleep, and then like leaving.
Come back in Jesus' name.
On the word, you know, you get a word, you pray and you fast, you wait for confirmation, praying and fast, you know, and amen. Reminds me of Daniel 10:12, which is like my verse of the year that I chose. You know, the moment you humbled yourself before your God and you set your heart to understand, you know, you were heard, beloved, and I have come because of your words. You know, like you were saying last outreach, you know, angels come, you know, if you seek him, you want to do his will, he's just going to let them flow, and they're going to come, and they're going to reveal themselves to you, and they're going to open the doors, and praise God.
Oh, imagine how you feel more peace now too after leaving.
Yeah, so there I experienced a lot of warfare. Like in the morning, I would have to do a lot of binding, loosening, and like avenues of where I would feel my mind drifting when I was trying to focus, concentrate. I felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of quenched. Even in worship or when we gather, it was hard to get one mind, one accord at that fellowship. And as soon as I left, I felt freedom from it, you know, a heaviness. And there's powers and principalities, and that's the dangerous thing about certain things. That's what I did the Bible study on. I went to a Jeremiah 10:9 idolatry. It was a three night Bible study every Tuesday for 3 weeks. And it was the compromising church. You know, when we do compromise, we let things in. You know, the horse is prepared for the, you know, day of battle. And if the horse isn't prepared, you don't have your saddle, and you can't ride bareback, you're not going to be able to, you know. But anyway, I'm getting off. It was those little compromises that I believe let, you know, the enemy in. And you could just feel it, you know. Fellowship wasn't on one mind, one accord. Worship wasn't the same, you know. I came here and it was weight lifted, you know. So, amen. And then, like, it's also minding tongue, if I'm not going to speak on, you know, certain people that what they said, if I'm not edifying my brothers and sisters, I'm not going to speak. And same thing with the healing. And that's just been the common theme since Tuesday, since I got back. And that's when I came up behind, I heard Proverbs 10:19. And that was, it's just, you know, preparing that horse. He will deliver us, bring the word to remembrance right when we need it. It's such a beautiful thing. And I'm fresh, you know, I'm starting to chew on meat.
Come on, Jesus' name.
It restrains evil. It truly does. And glorious, amen. I'm a glorious new creation. And I love every one of you. And yeah, that's the storm. That's the storm, Pat, that came by. So, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing, and thank you for the update. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I'm amazed, Tim, at your knowledge of the Word. You've been seeking the Lord and been in the Word, haven't you?
Yeah. When I first got there, I was on methadone for 2 years, and it's a heavy opiate, and the withdrawals on it are like 2 months if you cold turkey. And he delivered me in 3-4 days. I was up walking. I couldn't eat for 3 days. I was in the bed. And then all of a sudden I just got smacked, you know, and it was a brother there who was singing down the hallway. I kind of heard him. He was singing worship, praise, and it stirred something in me, you know, and I got right on my knees and I said, you know, Lord, I seek you diligently. I seek you diligently. And I kept going. And then his word just started renewing my mind and the Holy Spirit smacked me. It wasn't like I got hit with tongues and started prophesying, but I, the way I compare it to is like, it would downpour, I would get revelation, I would get that amazing, and then it would dry up, but there was pools of water that I could drink from until the next downpour, and then the full baptism hit. And ever since then, I just renew, his mind just renews my, his word renews my mind, establishes my thought, and I'm hungry. I got a hunger that I never had before. Yeah, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I see a mighty warrior for God right there.
Amen. He's getting up early every morning still and just seeking the Lord in prayer first thing he does. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's the blessed routine. The big thing, three things I learned was obedience, to be disobedience, consistency and discipline. And, you know, he establishes the rest. It doesn't take much talent. It's all from him, you know, so all you gotta do is just, you know, it's simple. But, you know, as in the flesh, wars with the spirit, it's just doing.
Come back in Jesus' name.
Bro.
Come back.
Hey, man, I almost got caught in a raid. I was involved with a drug dealer. I was at his house a lot, but I was 2 hours beforehand, there was a huge raid. He had guns that were unregistered. He had a long prison sentence. I could have got tied up with that, but the Lord delivered me from that. And praise God, he's faithful. And he broke me down. I was a marred jar. He put me back on the potter's wheel, and I surrendered. And, you know, here praise I am. Hallelujah. So
praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And one more thing, too, with the word. I noticed at the end, before I came in, I couldn't articulate things anymore. I mean, I was always intelligent. I went to schooling for engineering. I didn't finish, but at the end of it, I had no original thought, and I was insecure, and it was just food, work, drink, baby, wife, food, and it was, you know, it was like I was a robot, like, you know, and now with the freedom of his word, but with his spirit, it's truth, meaning, and purpose, and his glory, and it's life abundantly, and I can't get enough of it, and I want more and more every day. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Woohoo. What do you think, Katie?
Oh, it's amazing. I'm blown away by what the Lord has done. Like, everything I was praying happened, and even more than what I was imagining happened. Like, this is just the love for the Lord that he has is just so beautiful. Like, we'll just be sitting here talking about God, and he's just like, I love him so much. I can't stop thinking about God. I just am so in love with him. And it just blows me away what God has done in such a short time too. Yeah. You know, like it was instant. It wasn't like a progressive thing. Like it was instant when he went in there, he sought the Lord. And then my first visit to him, I had a whole new husband. I'm like, who is this? He's completely different. And his whole family noticed too. Like they're all looking at him like, whoa, you know, you look really, really, really good. And not just like good, but like completely different. And it's amazing. And I'm just excited because I believe there's going to be like a ripple effect, you know, with his family, because this is big. There's a brand new person sitting next to me.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Awesome. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Tim and Katie. We praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to hold him in your hands, both of them. And then that you're not going to let them go, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for new revelations. Every time he opens your word, Lord, the new revelations would come. And he'd get it down in his spirit before he turns it loose. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give him a boldness to get the truth of the gospel out. And I thank you for that too, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in this young couple. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Glory to God. Yeah, amen. Joe says, thank you, Father, for his gift in loving and obeying you. You talk about you, Tim. Glory to God. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Well, Tim, I can relate to what you're saying, and I'm looking for the same thing for my grandson. He's come off a long, long trail of addiction and prison and what have you. And he's been off of it for a year now. And he's done pretty good, but he's coming into the Lord pretty quick here. Lord told me last year, he said, Michael, said, you do what I want you to do. And I've got Blake in my hands. And he said, I ain't letting him go. When God tells you that, you know you're okay. That Blake's going to be fine. So that's what I always hang on to.
Amen. And you can hang on to that because that's what the Lord was telling me throughout everything. Like I was just looking around and it just seemed hopeless and it was just getting worse and worse. And the Lord just told me that he's going to be just fine, that he has him. And he told me he's not going to die.
He won't die.
Yeah, I heard he shall not die because I was so worried that he was going to overdose or like get in a car wreck or something. It was just going to go terribly wrong. But the Lord just spoke to me twice. He said, he shall not die. And that was enough for me. And it gave me peace. And it was true. There were so many times that something horrible should have happened and the Lord's hand was just all over it. And that was something that blew me away too. I was seeing the Lord's hand in that situation. It was chaos, but the Lord's hand was still all over it because he was sparing him. What, how many times did you crash the car?
About four. There's like two major ones where we're talking about the angels thing last Tuesday this previous Tuesday. I was going like 55 on the 190. It's the interstate, but it's by the city. And it was traffic time, 3 o'clock, which it should have been packed. And I nodded off. I went unconscious going around 55 and I came to and it was a turn and I was about 90 degrees with this turn. So I skidded off and I kind of faced traffic. Like I did like a, you know, couple turns and there's no cars. There's no cars ahead of me. No cars before me. And like it's the middle of traffic, you know, there's no way this could have happened. And I kind of petered off, I recorrected, and all of a sudden there's cars again. And I was like, this can't be happening, you know. And yeah, you know, he has us in the hand because he sees the finished product.
Amen.
You know, he sees our hearts, you know, and he won't die, you know. And it's the gratitude of coming from that. And I remember where I came from and where he brought me. And who Christ, you know, he delivered me from this. And it's that hunger, that gratitude that makes me, you know, want more and more. I never forget, you know. Amen. And another thing is that what I was talking about was the trust fall. So when I first got there, I was like, I want to cut my hair. You know, acknowledge him in all your ways, you know, and he'll direct your paths, even cutting your hair. You know, it's just cutting your hair. But he gave me Ezekiel 5. I just heard Ezekiel 5. It's one of the first times I started hearing from him because, you know, I'm still in the Lord. I'm praying. I'm not really, you know, I'm too familiar with the Holy Spirit. But I was like, I'm going to cut my hair, Lord, this, this, and that. I hear Ezekiel 5. And if you go to it, it says, the Son of Man, take a sword over your beard and over your head and cut it and do, you know, split it into threes. And I was just blown away that I'm telling you that I'm going to cut my hair and I'm getting a word. I don't even know Ezekiel that time. And it says, cut your hair. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this is real. This is the relationship. Cause my mom was Catholic. My grandma was Protestant. I knew Christ was King, but I didn't know we could have a relationship with the living God, you know, and that blew me away. And I was like, okay, I'm yours. You know, that was, and it was the trust fall, the way I put it as, it's a trust fall with God. I fell back a half a foot. He caught me. And then the next time another foot, to where you keep doing it. Eventually he catches you 1 inch above the ground and you need him more and more. And you realize that, because if you don't trust him, you're going to splat, you know, but it's trusting him, that trust fall, you know, starting with an inch, half a foot until you're an inch off the ground. Every time he's going to catch you, as long as you don't pivot, you fall back and believe, you know. Amen. So I have total faith that your grandson Blake will have that same revelation. We'll pray for that revelation right now. We'll lift up Blake, Father, in prayer that you give him revelation that will cut him to his core, that will cut his heart, install a hunger down deep in his soul to seek you early, to not be idle, and just let your word renew his mind. Take all the memories of past use, of drug use, abuse and turmoil and agony, and just renew it and remove it and replace it with righteous memories of your love, of your word, and revelation. Revelation to restrain the evil. Revelation to restrain the world and its lusts and its desires, and that the seeds that are planted land in good, fertile soil, and just protect them and bless them and send your angels to watch over him. Watch over Blake right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We believe it. I believe it's done. Lord showed me, Tim. These people know it, but Lord showed me many years ago when he's got a twin brother that died of an overdose a few years ago. But he showed me Blake out of both those two. He said he's going to be a mighty man of God. He told me back then, he says he's going to be a preacher. He's going to be a mighty man of God. When he wasn't anymore, 7, 8 years old, they'd go out with me. We'd hound out trucks and preach the gospel. They would too. But he's going to be with me one day here. We've already had dreams of him being here. So praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe that too, because that was something like right before, or when we started talking again, when the Lord led me and him to talk again, that was one of the things I heard about Tim, was that he was going to be a mighty man of God. God spoke that clearly. And I was like, yeah, I believe that. I can see that. And there was like little glimpses of it here and there. It was just that full surrender was lacking. And he was always frustrated too, because he kept saying, I just can't hear him. I can't hear him. But the whole time I was laughing because he was hearing him. He kept telling me all the time. He's like, I keep hearing, get off the methadone. That's all he was hearing. You heard that how many times?
About 4 or 5 times. I'm like, Lord, what do I need to do? Get off the methadone. I'm like, okay. And then put that in the back. No.
Amen. So he was speaking the whole time. It just wasn't what he wanted to hear at the time.
I think he brings us, you know, going through things, you know, he uses the lowly to confound the wise. And not only that, you know, everything that, you know, Katie and I have been through, you know, to help and to relate and to save people, give us tools, you know, storing up in his treasure house, you know, and it's a beautiful thing when Christ takes someone who has been through so much, the muck and the mire, and transforms them to a glorious creation for his glory. God be the glory.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen, sir. Glory be to God. Thank you, Tim. A lot of people are listening to you, that will be listening to you on the recording as well. And so it's going to help a lot of folks. I appreciate you coming on and giving your testimony. It's been very helpful to me. Yeah, very helpful. Thank you, Father. Okay, has anybody else got anything? Yeah, Missy.
You know, I've been contemplating sharing a couple little things, and after Tim sharing what he's sharing, you know, about, you know, just hearing from the Lord and all, just the Lord showing you things like when you least expect it, just little things, you know, sometimes and whatever. But the other night I was reading in The Gift of Humility, and I was reading where I think it's in 1 Corinthians 8, reiterates what it says back in Exodus about he who gathers much has no excess, and he who gathers little has no lack. And David was talking about equality in the body, you know, and not storing up for yourself, but, you know, sharing and so on and that kind of thing. And I was sitting there just thinking about that, and the Lord brought something to my mind about over the weekend when I was with my family. It's just a neat little thing. When we went to this restaurant, my mom and Merle were sitting across from each other, and Merle got this 6-ounce sirloin steak. Well, when he got it, it was so puny, and I was like, was it even 6 ounces to begin with? Because, you know, they'll, you know, anyway. And my mom gets the steak, and it's this big steak, you know. And so she felt bad for him, and she couldn't eat all of it. So she gave him a couple pieces of it, you know. And it just popped into my head, you know, about the Lord just popped that into my head. And I was like, oh, that's cool, you know. And that was sweet of my mom to do that. But anyway, and then earlier, right before we got started, I was there was something that I was thinking on and asking the Lord about, and like, what's going on with this situation? What's going on here? And I was just like, and the Lord just said to me, continue reading and I'll show you. Well, I read just a little bit. And what I read was like the Lord was like showing me like majorly what's going on in this situation by what I read. And I can't share exactly what that is, but I was like, wow, you know, I mean, because I just started the third chapter, and I basically had only just read like the prayer in the beginning of that chapter. And it was like the Lord will says, well, just read on and I'll show you, you know. And I was like, wow, because some scripture came up and I was like reading it, and I was like, backtrack. The Lord got my attention. It, you know, did you see what you just read? You know, and it was an answer. It really helped me. And then, you know, now just thinking about it and listening and everything, you know, the Lord showed me some Bible studies. I brought up my mind some Bible studies to look up to listen to. So anyway, it was cool. The Lord's awesome. You know, you're like, sometimes, you know, he answers you when you least expect it. You know, I wasn't really expecting that. It's just like, you know, cause sometimes you think, well, that's just me, you know, just read on, you know, just go back and read on. And I was like, oh, wow, that really was the Lord, you know, because, you know, one thing the Lord showed me is that, you know, sometimes you think it's you, but it's your new man, you, it's Jesus in you that's speaking to you. You think it's your own thoughts, but, well, you know, when the Lord's thoughts become your thoughts, it is your thoughts. But it's his thoughts too, you know. But anyway, if that makes any sense. But so thank you, Lord. Just wanted to share these two little things there. It's pretty cool.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
It just amazes me how the Lord using young people like Tim and Ben. They're growing up so quickly. It's amazing. I learned a lot of years. Well, I've gone through a lot of years of the Lord to where I am now. But faith better to do it in a short time. That's amazing of the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Been watching Ben and now we got Tim to watch. Glory to God. They're surpassing a lot of people that I know. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what happens when you grow up here in the end times. You get to do it fast because you got work to do. Praise God. That's good. We're looking for y'all down here too. Amen. Amen, Ben. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, it's exciting when the Lord speaks to you about something when you're studying the Word. And I was in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. And suddenly I noticed that this is a prophecy from the church father and apostle about the different origins for man. And he's prophesying this like 2,000 years ago, and it never really dawned on me that this end time prophecy has already come to pass, because they're given this different origin. It's not creation, you know. And I'm going, how come I didn't see this before? You know, I actually went back to Genesis 1:9 to see it, you know. And I went, well, yeah, but that happened in the 1800s, you know, when that started to be really big in the world, and that was a big change in the world. There was quite a bit of many things after that, you know, and the fulfillment of this this word that our apostle and church father Paul Peter spoke about them building believing in a different origin other than creation is written in that verse, and I went, well, yeah, I remember reading that in Genesis 1:9, what he's talking about there. And, you know, they have a problem with the promise of his presence. Maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, God's word creates. It's sovereign. It creates. It functions. It does things. And it's so exciting when the word of God creates like that. And happens and manifests in our life. It's just amazing. And when he just shows you just simple things like that, you know, you go, well, yeah, this is a confirmation of end times, but even from the 1800s, and, you know, there were the world wars and lots of wars in the 1800s too. And it really does a disaster for Christianity when those things happen. And, So praise God, glory to God for speaking to me there. But you do get the audible voices from them too. And that's even much more exciting when that happens. Praise God.
Yeah, those audible times are really awesome. Thank you, Father. All right.
That was 2 Peter 3:5. Where he's prophesying the same words. The same words that are in Genesis 1:9 about him using the water to make the land. And they don't believe that there in that verse. And it was just really cool the way it came together that way. Creation is so important for, just like it says in Ephesians 2:10, For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon good works. So praise God. You know, creation is so fabulous. It has a lot to do with manifestation.
Amen. What's really fascinating, I did some of that this past week, Andrew. Let's go back and look at the relationship that Adam had with the Lord at that time. We're coming into that. Praise God. No hindrances for those who are dedicated to running after the Lord. Won't be any hindrances. You'll be doing the same things that Adam was, looking at the Lord face to face, walking with him in the cool of the morning. That's what he wants. That's why he made us. That's the reason he made us, is to have, just like we talked about last time, about that man back in, I think it was 1960, that the Lord asked him, said, would you be my friend? Said, I can't find anybody who wants to be my friend. They all want something. They want to intercede. They want to talk all the time. And would you be my friend? He said, yeah, I'll be your friend. He said the only time that he had available for the Lord was from 2 o'clock in the morning to 3:30 in the morning. And every night, or every morning, he'd get up, he'd go in there and get him a cup of tea. And he'd come back and he'd start talking to the Lord like he was right there. That's one other key, is your imagination, using your imagination, because your imagination eventually will turn into what it is that you want. That's, we talked a little bit about quantum faith here a while back. Same thing. It's all, you do it, it'll happen. Anyway, he kept talking to the Lord every morning for an hour and a half. And then about a year later, he got up, he got his tea, and he sat down. He heard somebody coming up the walkway. And he heard somebody come in the door. He said, wonder who that is? 2 o'clock in the morning. In walked Jesus in the flesh. Came down, sat down, and said, because of your faithfulness to me and wanting to be my friend, from this point on, you'll see me everywhere. Everywhere I'm at, you're going to see me. Physically, you're going to see me. And he did for the rest of his life, I guess. The Lord said it's going to happen. So that's what he wants. He wants dedication, like Tim talked about, discipline. To sit down and listen. You can talk a little bit, but let the Lord talk. He's got a lot to say. His saying is a whole lot more important than what I got to say. That's what I do. I sit in here in that chair right there, and I imagine Jesus on my bed laying up there. Sitting up there like David does when he comes in here. He'll get up in my bed like it's his bed. You know what I mean? I mean, that's friendship. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't bother me at all. And we'll talk, and I just imagine that Jesus comes in, lays down on that bed, props up, say, what's up, Michael? Now, that's the way Jesus talks to me. He talks to me in Arkansas language. He doesn't talk to me in no New York language or anything like that. It's all Arkansas language. I don't know about y'all. You know, the Bible was written by a Southerner, because people talk about reckon this and yonder. That's all Southern language. That's somebody from the South wrote that Bible. Help us, Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
That story about that guy, I don't remember his name now, but it reminded me kind of maybe a little bit opposite of Brother Lawrence, who I think through his imagination and perseverance, basically brought the Lord into his daily life, daily routine, through the same process, you know. And I don't have the book around me, but I remember him saying that, you know, he learned to worship the Lord while and talk to the Lord and see see the Lord in every activity, doing the dishes and cleaning the floors. And he just learned to, well, the name of the book is Practicing the Presence of the Lord. And it kind of reminded me of that one, and this gentleman you're talking about, Michael. So I remember thinking, and I don't know if it was before I read that book or after it, but I remember thinking how lucky I was. I was in the Baptist church at the time, and I thought, boy, how lucky the pastor is that he doesn't have to work. He can spend all his time, you know, with the Lord. And the Lord corrected me at that time. And I don't remember even what it was, but I think that book, The Presence, Practicing the Presence of the Lord, had something to do with it and kind of opened my eyes up to, you know, God wants to be in us where we are at. You know, he doesn't want to be relegated to some, you know, place in a, you know, up on a pew or up on a pulpit for, you know, an hour or 2 hours a week. He wants to be with us now, every time, everywhere, you know, within us. And I think that book was kind of instrumental in what I needed at that time to kind of break, you know, break away from that. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention it.
Amen. Yeah. The Practice the Presence of God was a good book. Showed you how close he was to the Lord. Same way with George Mueller, another one that was close to the Lord. Same way with Tim and Katie. Same way with Missy, everybody, Julie, Andrew, all of them. We all have the same relationship, or at least I hope you do. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing us into this realization that nothing else matters but you at this time. Nothing else matters. We don't want to miss this great opportunity that you have afforded us to come into the bride. The bride, that wonderful place of the bride where you'd be able to help a lot of folks, not just one or two, but a lot of folks. And Father God, the bride and the man child. You know, the man child comes out of the bride. And Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, and everybody in this fellowship and those that are listening are running after you with all their heart. And Lord, if they're not, I ask that you put repentance on them. Let them know that you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. And this takes faith. That's all it takes. And if you don't have faith, get in the Word. Start speaking in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Seeking God. Just like Tim said, the more you read that Word of God, the more the hunger comes. You can't hardly satiate yourself because of it. It's just awesome to what God can do in each and every one of us, Father. And we thank you that nobody listening to my voice right now is going to miss this bride because you're going to put in them a hunger for you, Father God, to get alone and to talk with you and to be with you and to carry on a conversation with you, because in the end times, we're going to need that. We are there. We're going to need to know when you talk to us, who it is that's talking to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us great bold discernment also in the spiritual. Wisdom, that wisdom, Father God, we need wisdom. And I thank you for that too, Father God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, when you say go, we don't hesitate. We grab that suitcase and we go to the third stall on the left. And you'll take us wherever we need to go. Y'all ever hear that story? About this guy, I don't remember who it was, but this guy, the Lord told him, he said, I need you to go over, and it was someplace way off from him in a foreign country. He said, okay, Lord. He said, now, I want you to go to the airport. So he said, I want you to pack your bag and go to the airport. He said, okay. So he goes to the airport. He said, okay, Lord, I'm here. He said, now, I want you to go into the men's restroom, go to the third stall on the left. So he said, okay, Lord, that's where I'm going. So he goes in the third stall on the left. Directly, the Lord said, now, go on out. So he went out, and guess what? He was in that country. And he went and did whatever he had to do. But the point I was getting to, he listened to the Lord and did everything the Lord told him to do. How many of you would do that? Do what, Lord? Go where? Why do I have to go to? What do you want me to do? Why can't you just do it right here? Do what the Lord said. He's got a reason for it. We want to try to reason things out. No, you ain't gonna out reason God, for goodness sake. He's already got it all planned out and everything ready. First of all, he's gonna see if you're gonna obey him. Tim talked about obeying. Obedience is the biggest hindrance to a lot of people. One of the biggest. Yeah, Tim.
So when we know that it's from the Lord, like I just knew. It's in 1 Kings 13 with the man of God. I forgot the king that he said where he reached out the hand and his hand was withered, and then the man of God healed it. And then the Lord told him, listen, go back to your homeland, go back a different way. Don't eat or don't drink, you know. And the Lord tested him and had another prophet run up to him and said, you know, come back with me. He's like, no, I can't. The Lord told me to do this in a very specific way. And he's like, well, the Lord also told me that, you know, you can come back. You know, the Lord never, or the God never interrupts himself. You hear a word, you follow through, because, you know, he did. He compromised. He went back. He believed, you know, second guessed himself, second guessed what the Lord told him, ate bread at the prophet's house. And then, you know, it was a death sentence. He went back home. The lion, you know, took him, didn't eat over his corpse, but stood over his corpse, and the donkey was there, and then the prophet buried him. But just, that's what brought me to mind, is you hear the Lord, like the third stall, what? You know, you get these instructions, but it's that obedience. God wants to see you, you know, and use you for his glory. And when we take that glory, his will back in a little way, that's when the lion comes, the young lion seeking to devour us. So that's what came to my heart. Amen.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Father. Yep, obedience. He demands that. He commands that. He's going to have it too. If not from you, from someone else who's going to take your place. All right, anyone else? It's been a good night. I enjoyed this tonight. Quite a bit so far. I don't know why, but I command this thing to, you know, the pinwheel you get when you know something's not right. Something's like loading up. It's loading up, loading up, loading up. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get off my computer. Amen. All right. Anybody else on how to hear from the Lord? I'm going to point somebody. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, you hear from the Lord in your dreams too.
Yeah.
I recently had a dream. I never shared it, but I think I'm going to share it. I don't know if it was a dream or a vision. It's kind of weird. I noticed that there was something in my right leg, in my thigh. And I was picking at it. And I pulled at it. And I don't know if you know what a farmer's fence looks like. It's made out of metal wire. And there were rectangles. It was one section of the fence, but it wasn't wide enough to even have one rectangle. It was cut. And I'm pulling this one wire out of my leg in this dream. And I went up about 8 inches and I was going, am I some kind of robot? That's what I was thinking here in the dream. And then I just let it go and the rest of it was coming in. And by itself. And then I went, that was the end of the vision, I guess. And I think the Lord wants to deliver me from something. That's what I got. But it was just like wire mesh and I'm going, what is this coming out of my leg for? You know? So I think it's a deliverance. It was metal and it was coming out of my right leg. And you pray for things to see that you get healthier and healed, and you don't want to repeat dreams. So repeat prayers. So I'm expecting some sort of deliverance out of that. Even though I tried to do it myself, when I let it go, it just started to go, come up like maybe 3 feet out of my leg. And that was the end of the vision. It just sort of stopped. I don't know if the whole thing came out, but I figure if he's taking this out, he's for sure going to take it all out. So.
That was a piece of fence that you pulled out.
Yeah, it's like a piece of wire, just one section of a fence, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not even like a rectangle. You know, they have like rectangles and fences.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's cut down and there's just the pokey parts of it, and it's just one wire. And it kind of came when I was pulling it, trying to take it out, it didn't come out too good. And when I just stopped and it was just coming out, I just saw it come out. and then the vision stopped. And I can't even remember whether he got it all out or anything, but I figure he wouldn't do that anyway. So that was the vision. And, It hopefully it'll be an answer for a prayer that I'm trying to be healed from something. Healed and healthy, of course. Because we all have to wait on some things. And there could be other things, I think, maybe that interfere with me getting this, but that's taken care of too, because it's all taken care of. And then, glory to God, because that's our promise. We have a promise. We have exceedingly great and precious promises to be partakers of the divine nature. Praise God. So I'm going to believe the promises. I'm going to believe the promises because there's no one else I can believe in. That's for sure. And that's what I want. And his word creates. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So that's another way the Lord will give you dreams and visions. And I don't know what this one exactly means, but I know that pretty close to that area, there is something that has been bothering me for a very long time. It's gone.
Okay.
It's gone because it's going to be gone.
No, it's already gone, in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Amen.
And
Fences for binding.
Yeah, it's for binding, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
so in the name of Jesus,
it was loose. It was freaky, man. I'm telling you. You think you're a robot? Am I a robot? You know, like it, you get those dreams where it seems so real, you know, you go, what is this? And it was weird anyway. So I'm just glad when I stopped pulling on it, it was taken out. So I just got to let it go and enter the rest. Praise God. That's what
you were pulling it out of your hip?
Well, out of the very top of my leg and just
pulled
it maybe 8 inches. And then I let go. And when I let go, it was just coming out like someone was pulling it.
And, sounds like you got delivered already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God. Cool. Yeah. That's gone, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Sounds like some flesh, too. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just thinking it was your right leg, Andrew. So that's your walk. And I was thinking your right leg, that's your righteousness, you know, walking right uprightly, you know. And that, you know, I grew up on a farm and I helped my dad put up fence and stuff. I helped him tighten it and that kind of thing and all that. So I know exactly the kind of fencing you're talking about, but you know, he put up fence to separate, you know, where the cattle could go or the pigs could go to keep them penned in. That's what you put up a fence for generally on a farm, is to separate, you know, where livestock can and can't go, and livestock's flesh, you know, or the beast or something. So that's just what was coming to my mind as you were talking, that you were trying to pull it out. And I'm agreeing that it's just something affecting your righteousness. You're walking righteously. Something hindering you. Maybe it's a religious something or other, or maybe, you know, something that's keeping you, is, you know, in bondage somewhere from the past or something. That's all that was coming to my mind. So maybe, you know, the Lord has speak through somebody else or give you a personal revelation about that, but he'll show you.
Yeah, Joe.
I'm thinking the same as Julie, the fences for open and closing. But the good thing is, his righteousness is in the right leg, but Andrew started picking it up and he just go. In other words, he's supposed to do something and then he just move at all fence on his walk. I'm thinking that's a very good thing. It's for,
yeah.
Just for him. Yeah. He has to start, well, what I understand now. He has to start the thing, whatever. And it's already starting it. It's just going. The Lord will remove the thing from his, I mean, we already had removed it already. Yeah, that's a good thing. You understand what I'm saying, Jimmy?
Sure. Every word you said, I understood every word of it. Man, I'm learning this South African lingo.
Andrew, do you understand what I said?
I didn't hear that, man.
Yeah, I understood it, but it's something that has to be done first. But I think that's pretty much when I let that go, that it means that I've already done that.
Yeah,
That and
Lord will do the rest then.
Because you guys know how much trouble I've had because of religiosities and all the different churches I went to. So it's been a struggle with this law thing for a long time for some things. And it's a wonderful grace and faith that one has given to them. It's part of your creation. So praise God. And I'm going to stick with that it's done and delivered and it's done. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
You know, like we're seeing people advance pretty fast here. maybe that's what's supposed to happen for all of us too, for what's supposed to happen in the future.
Amen. You know, well, he promised us in his word that in this anointing that comes to the bride, he's gonna make available this Christ-like memory, recall, and all of that stuff. You're gonna have the knowledge of the Word of God in you, in the bride. The bride is to bring about the revival and to disciple people. That's their gonna be their job. You're gonna need to know it.
I keep thinking of those words in John 14:26 on how he's gonna teach us everything and remind us of everything we're supposed to know. And no one's gonna have to be your teacher from the least of these to the greatest of these, because that's what the covenant is all about in Hebrews 8. So
yeah.
From the small, no one's need to teach it, because the Lord's your teacher. He's your recaller. Peter brought things to their recollection, but he was doing it from the Holy Spirit of John 14:26, as it says in 2 Peter, anything. I'll bring things to your recollection, Peter said. And it was a John 14:26. It's the Word of God. It's what Peter knew. And he was just telling the people, whoever he was talking to there in 2 Peter or 1 Peter, and it's just that way, because it's the Holy Spirit, and he it's love, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So we're going to have the love of God leading us and guiding us, and we want that obedience. We want to obey our Father. Praise God. We have a fatherhood, and people who are fathers should have a good look at that father verse in chapter 3 of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's a father, because the father respects fatherhood. And every father should read that verse in chapter 3, just above some real powerful verses there where you're supposed to be in that love of God. The height, the width, the length, and the depth. There's a verse of fatherhood just above that. And it's a father is it needs to do things for their little children, especially. And they need to be the father, be the husband. And the mothers have to be the mothers, and they have to be the wives. And they have to do that. No, we did a whole series on that book, and you have to do that. It's intense. It's wonderful. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that they tend to respect Mother's Day more than Father's Day. I think it should be the other way around. Not that I'm prejudiced either, but... I think it's more toward the mother because she's the weaker vessel, but a father has to be uplifted to his position, just like a king has to. And the King of Kings. And I have a king and a kingdom.
Amen.
And it ain't Canada. I know there's a King of Canada, but that's not the king. He's got a king himself, and he better find him.
Charles III, whatever things. Amen. All right, Missy, you got a minute and a half.
Well, this keeps coming to me from early on when you were sharing this, Andrew, and it just what comes to me is you want a righteous, sanctified walk. And it's not going to be by your works, but by God's grace.
Amen. That's quick. Missy, I am so, that is awesome.
Amazing, Lord, huh?
God, amazing. Long story short, finally comes to pass. Hurry. Go
How ahead, did you Lana. Do that, Missy?
Yeah, really. Go ahead, Lana.
Lord.
Lana, I'm going to go ahead and give you a chance since Missy didn't take very long. Praise God.
Michael, I had a testimony I wanted to share. Sure. I don't think it should take long. But speaking of deliverances, I had been going through a trial. It was a cycle of sorts that would continue to repeat itself, what felt like every few weeks, and it would be days of frustration and anger, and just getting exhausted with my children. And on Monday night after we prayed, or I should say Tuesday morning, after I had to ask for prayer on Monday night because I was just so worn down with this cycle, I had gone to bed that night just praising the Lord and just claiming that I have overcome whatever this is. I said, Lord, I know you're trying to do something here. You're trying to show something here. I'm just claiming it's done. I don't know what it is, but it's done. And the next morning, I sat little Gabe down to breakfast and he was just fighting me left and right for some reason, just distracted all over the place. And I was growing frustrated and I thought, no, we're not going there again. And as I looked at him, fussing, he had asked to sit in my lap and he was sitting in his high chair. And I thought, no, he's going to do what I want him to do. That's how we train these children. And I heard the voice said, I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, love him. And I knew instantly that the Lord wanted me to free my child from that high chair and put him on my lap. And instantly the little guy was cooperative, happy, ate his breakfast and ran off. And as I meditated on this, I realized that in my fear of loving my children, I had continuously resorted to legalism, and legalism was bringing frustration, anger, condemnation into my life over and over again. And I was fighting it in the only way I knew, and I carried it on me, and I was going through these cycles. Because the way I was raised, I've shared often, in a very religious, very strict, conservative household. I was never told this. I guess it was just demonstrated to me that love, the things I associated with love, they are weak things. You know, you tell your child to sit in his seat, and if you change your mind and you take him out, you're weak. You change your mind and your child's going to abuse that. Your child's going to use that against you. You'll never have your child under control and such things. And mind you, I didn't come from an abusive household whatsoever, but these things are passed on to you subconsciously. And I realized that I was afraid to love my children, and there are days when I still am, but the Lord has been so merciful in showing little things to me daily that I can do differently. It's not even my actions. A lot of times it's my presentation. And so, I just wanted to share this step that he, has delivered me in, and that he's continuing to take me further in this deliverance. And I'm just claiming by faith that, I'm completely delivered of this legalism in my life, because my main desire for my children is that they will never remember me as a struggling, failing mom who was unkind and short and angry and demanding, but that they will only remember the love of Christ. And it's not because I'm afraid of their criticism, but it's because I want to give them the love, all the love that I have, and I don't have enough. So I'm believing that the Lord's going to make up for all of that. And they are so young and there is still so much time, but I want to do everything for them that I can't, but be able to allow the Lord to do that in me. So I'm claiming this prayer for myself, for the sake of my children, for the sake of my, and for the sake of the kingdom, and giving all the glory to God for the beautiful and merciful work that he's doing in my life as a mother. He's so, so good. And I give him all the glory. Amen.
Lord, I sense a big turnaround, Lana. Oh, my goodness gracious, sexy life. Okay, praise God. Thank you, Lana. That is awesome. That is awesome. The light of the Lord's love will destroy the enemy. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for all the good testimony we've heard tonight. We thank you, Father, that you guided this whole meeting, and I praise you for it, Father. That's the way we want it, because when we do that, Lord, we all learn something. And I praise you for doing that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, giving us all a good night's sleep or a good day at work, whatever, whichever one it is. And I thank you for it, Father. Bless all that are listening too, Father, in Jesus' name. And bless our night tomorrow night as we all get together in the local assembly and with the outreach also. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, folks. Good night. We'll see you later. Bless you.